Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome everybody. Another hour of Sports Daily here. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester, Max Power producing for us. He's got you at 869-1240. We've got you on the video streams on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X. It's all available for you. As we gear up and get ready for the football season, it is very close. We've got Chiefs insider, NFL insider, we'll call it, Felix Johnson, joining us in the next segment. We'll have some college football talk here, maybe get back to the Royals and look ahead to tonight's game. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. The just-announced Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with over a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the clean, crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Just go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. All right, we come back in. We've been talking Chiefs there. We'll get back to them. Tommy, I want to jump into this AP Top 25. Texas, like they were in the coaches poll, is number one. Penn State, Ohio State are flip-flopped, I believe, from where they were in the coaches poll. But we're going to get some really good early season matchups here. We'll get to that in a second. For the Big 12, you have Arizona State, the highest in this poll as well, 11. They return enough that I think that's absolutely fair. Kansas State, the next highest at 17. Iowa State at 22. That gives you Ireland, 17 versus 22. Tech is in there at 23. BYU was very close. Utah was very close. Baylor was very close. They're essentially 26, 27, and 28. And then that was it. TCU got a handful of votes, and Colorado got one in the AP Top 25. None for Kansas, as we mentioned in the last hour. But this all feels the same. Like, everybody kind of feels the same way about the Big 12. It's even. We think Arizona State should be the leader in the clubhouse. I think that's absolutely fair. They're not going to be my pick to win it. I do think I'm ready to say Kansas State's going to be my pick to win it. But it's very, very close. And it's going to be, again, likely a year. I don't know that anybody's making it through this with fewer than two losses. It seems like too tough a road to climb. This league is good top to bottom.
Going all the way back up to the top, how crazy is it that Texas is number one in the AP Top 25, but they're an underdog in their very first game of the season on the road at Ohio State? Obviously, Ohio State is number three, so they're no slouch. But I think it's kind of funny that you've got, you know, these two teams facing off, and the number one team in the AP Top 25, they start the season as underdogs.
I would bet Texas in that game. I'm buying Texas. It's not even an Arch Manning thing.
Based on what? Why is it Sark?
Sark program building. I think they have a little more coming back maybe than Ohio State. Remember Ohio State, and they do this all the time. When you talk about Ohio State, starting left tackle, I know he got hurt last year, quarterback, top two running backs, top at least one, if not two wide receivers. That's a, you know, for, and I know they'll be ultra talented and they'll get people in there, but any consistency that you can find is helpful. And I think Texas maybe just has a little bit more of it. Where is that game being played?
It's in Ohio. You know, Texas is going on the road for it.
Well, so that's why they're underdogs then. What is the spread? I might change my
team.
That's
good
a
question.
True road game.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know. That might be too much to ask. Listen, you want to talk about the stage for Arch Manning? Go on, it's only 2.5 points. 2.5 on the road. Man, is Ohio State really going to lose a game at home? I might still take Texas. I'd like Texas more than Ohio State, but that's a brutal opening game. But what a fun game. Listen to some of these games. You got Iowa State, Kansas State. You ever remember games at the beginning of the season sounding this good? So in that first weekend, we know we get Kansas. But even if you're just looking at like premier type matchups, you get Iowa State, Kansas State on the opening Saturday of football. Then the next week, which is technically week one, right? You get that Texas-Ohio State game you mentioned. Alabama and Florida State play. Nevada and Penn State play. I think there's one more. Isn't there one? Yeah, LSU and Clemson play. is another like super premier game. And then the nightcap that night is Notre Dame Miami. So you've got two games in the evening. Notre Dame Miami are top 10. LSU and Clemson are top 10. You've got that early game of Texas and Ohio State, which is the 11 o'clock window. The middle window, if you will, you get Alabama, Florida State. How's that to open the college football season?
Yeah, that's an incredible week one. I know that we have been focused locally here on week zero for a good reason. But man, week one, that August 30th slate is going to be incredible to watch.
But does anybody not think that we're in a better place than we were 3 years ago with college football? Like all the hand-wringing and everything about all the changes happening, and it's still the good old days and the good old days. Sorry you're not getting Alabama versus Arkansas Pine Bluff this week. You know, poor, yeah. Like this is like the joint, like the merging of conferences, the like all of it. These are kind of the end results here. Teams need to schedule better games to try and get into an expanded CFP. Like it's all a byproduct, and here's what we get, right? Like this is what could have always been. And it's not perfect, but man, it's better than it used to
be. A large part of it has to be the influence of the networks too, right? Like they want to make sure that they've got premier matchups to start off the season. And, you know, you're not playing all these cupcake games for the first couple of weeks in non-conference before you actually get into conference play. And so, yeah, like things get kicked off with a bang. I mean, even in the week zero slate, you know, when you've got two top 25 teams in Kansas State and Iowa State, that's a massive matchup to start off the season, even before the official start to college football season.
We could see that as a rematch in the Big 12 championship game, right? Like this is a huge game. And you like, so those are two interesting teams, and we'll start to get into this over the net, but like you've got returning quarterbacks at these programs. Like they're as experienced as any of these teams in the top part of the, you know, in the top 25 or however you want to look at it. Like these are teams that return quarterbacks. These are teams with coaching consistencies. These are teams that, like that game's going to be nice. It's a fierce rivalry. Like it doesn't get much better than that. And kudos to them for playing it when they're playing it, because they're going to get the stage all to themselves. That is like the first meaningful 11 a.m. on ESPN. Like this is the first college football game essentially of the year. And it's K-State and Iowa State. And it's Avery Johnson on the big stage. You want to see the hype train go out of control, Tommy? Watch Avery Johnson if he has a big game. Watch Dylan Edwards if he has a big game. If either of those two, or both, do something special in that game, the hype train is going to start to go out of control for K-State. And for them specifically. It absolutely will. Because I think people have kind of forgotten how much they were tantalized by Avery Johnson as a true freshman that ran for, was it five touchdowns against Texas Tech and all that. Just wait. Like if people will go, because that's it. There's nothing else that day. Like they're the only ones going. NFL's not here yet. Like we're all just kind of sitting around and waiting. That's where I love this opportunity for K-State so much. I think it's just tremendous. And they have a huge task ahead of them. They're 3.5-point favorites in that game, by the way. But just what a blast that's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, in the history of Avery Johnson at K-State, you had to kind of take the bad with the good. You saw his athleticism. You saw his talent, his ability, just the sheer attributes that he brought to the table. But then he would also make some bad decisions.
True sophomore.
We've said that before. Like, if he can eliminate some of that and the decision-making gets even better, man, if you thought that people were tantalized by him before with those mistakes that he made as a sophomore and then as a freshman before that, I mean, it's going to be even crazier this season if that decision-making is even slightly better.
So, it to me, it's more about can he do, like, has he learned the things to keep himself on the field? Has he learned the thing, like the little subtle things that man, it just takes time to understand you're not Superman. I think that's where we see the biggest step forward. And the biggest thing that's going to help him like pile up the stats and everything is him being on the field healthy all the time. He was not the same player when he was playing through injury last year. Absolutely not the same player. So what can he do? He's put on the weight, you know, by all accounts, everybody that's seeing him, he looks bigger, which was always going to just take time. But yeah, can he learn how to not take a hit, not take the contact, get out of bounds, whatever it is to keep himself on the field? That's probably the last final stage of his development to become the superstar that we know he's going to be, would be that. And it's on full stage in front of everybody. Everybody in the country is going to be watching that game, probably more than any other week. It could be the highest rated Big 12 game of the season just because we're starved for football and it's the first one we all get together. It's going to be awesome. Cannot wait for it. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald in later this week to help get us previewed. And then, of course, we're there. Like, this Saturday's it, everybody. Get all the fun family stuff out of your system. We got football next weekend.
Get ready to get locked into college football.
Sorry,
not that
kids.
Long away.
Dads are a little more unavailable starting next week. We're coming back. We got more Sports Daily. Don't go.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in. Happy to be joined by our guy, Felix Johnson, here to help us guide and get ready for the NFL season. We have seen now a week of preseason action. You can find Felix's work on the Talkball podcast. You can find him at Arrowhead Addict. All the good stuff there. Felix, how are you this morning?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
Good. We always leave the air with this, so I will give you a second here to come around to my side that the Cowboys should trade Mike Parsons. We'll do that off the top so we don't like start the conversation and then hit the break immediately. I know you've had some time to think about it, and nobody's going to, you know, judge if you admit that, you know what, you're probably right about that.
Jacob, you clearly don't know me very well because I'm incredibly stubborn. I still find it hard to say that you have one of the top three players at any given position and say, yeah, go ahead and trade him, especially when he's 26 years old and you don't have anybody else, especially on that defense, that is going to be that big of a impact maker, impact changer, other than like a Trayvon Diggs or a Deron Bland. But even then, those two guys have gigantic question marks that Micah Parsons does not even come close to. So to me, it's just really hard to say that you have one of the, I don't know, 8 to 10 best players in football and saying like, yeah, go ahead and get out of here.
I get it.
Getting that out of the way. I'm glad that we got that done and out of the way at the very top. Let's actually talk about what's important, and that is we had Chiefs football over the weekend, first preseason action for Kansas City. Big takeaways from your end, Felix. I know we saw Patrick Mahomes briefly, one pass, 1 yard, one touchdown from Mahomes. But there were some other, I think, major storylines that sort of came to fruition after that game. What were your major takeaways?
Yeah, I think some of it with the preseason, you kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt because it is the preseason. And this is such a well-established team. They've gone to 3 straight Super Bowls. And we've talked about it numerous times with when they're drafting. It's like, what third-round pick is going to make this particular roster? So what veteran, undrafted, free agent, or whatever the case may be, what guy is making that roster? Well, it might be Robert Tonyan. It might be a different guys like that. But then again, you look at the Chiefs' history over the last 5 or 6 years, they've had a undrafted or young tight end or a veteran tight end that looks really good in the preseason. But then, yeah, it's the Travis Kelce show. And then last year we saw a bit more of Noah Gray throughout the middle part of the season, and I think we're going to get a little bit more of that. But Robert Tonyan, being that he is a veteran and has played in big moments, I think that Andy Reid may be more likely to give him an opportunity throughout the season. But at the same time, I've seen this movie before, and I know exactly how it ends. The Chiefs do exactly what the Chiefs are going to do, and that's going to be kind of boring. And so, like, I think we could see, like we've talked about, the Chiefs offense turning back up and figuring things out. But at the same time, I think it's going to take a little bit of time, especially because of all of the different things to start the season. And so could a guy like Robert Tonyan, different veteran pieces on the offense, could they be a bigger piece than what we've seen in the past? For sure.
So he's an interesting name at the moment because we're getting to the point where we got to start thinking about some roster decisions, some cuts. I kind of think they're going to keep 4. I think Tonyan makes it. Wiley's back. And then obviously Gray and Kelce are cemented. I do think that you've got a situation where Remigio seems like, because of special teams, he's going to make it. And then you've got Rice's spot we think will be open. But if Royals and Juju and Worthy and Brown are also there, that's 5 receivers. There's a decision to be made somewhere with the skill guys because I don't think they can keep all the receivers and all the running backs. Are they beholden to Carson Steele because they want to pretend like they need a fullback? I kind of think Elijah Mitchell may go. Like, who do you think ends up the odd man or men out of the skill guys in all of this?
Well, yeah, and that is something that we've seen from the Chiefs in the past, is that they'll sign a veteran running back and say, oh, we're about to do some really awesome things throughout the first month of the season, and then they don't even make the 53-man roster. In that case, Elijah Mitchell would be the odd man out. Now, I think that being that you do need some depth throughout the season and you've seen – what the wide receiver position can provide you based off of the guys that you do have and what you're not going to have at the beginning of the season. In the case of Rashee Rice, you kind of have to say, let's try and keep as many guys around that position as possible because of injuries, because of what we've seen from that position over the last couple of years. Sucks, Elijah Mitchell has to go, but that seems like the easiest cut to make, in my opinion. But we could be sitting here 2 weeks down the road and Elijah Mitchell's getting 10 carries a week.
I know it's extremely hard to make a definitive opinion on the play of a rookie left tackle after only 11 snaps in a preseason game, but Josh Simmons looked the part in those 11 snaps. He looked really good in pass protection. It's extremely early, but did you have anything coming out of those 11 snaps that you saw from him that you liked or maybe didn't like?
Yeah, Cody and I talked about this on a recent episode of Let's Talk Ball, where it's just like the offensive line is just one of those things where you can't figure out how good it is, even one individual part, how good it is until live rounds, until you're going up against not just guys in the preseason who are also trying to make a roster, which is impressive. Like, these guys are playing with a different level of motivation than some guys maybe in week 3 or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, there's going to be more chances to go up against a guy like, and there was kind of interesting in the Browns game where Shedeur Sanders had an escape. I think he had like a double spin move, and he asked Myles Garrett, would that work on you? And Myles Garrett's like, no. And I know that's Myles Garrett. That's the one guy in the league that's probably not working against, but there's a lot more guys closer to Myles Garrett than there are playing in the preseason against Josh Simmons. And so, again, you guys said it, it's 11 snaps. we can't get that much from it. We got to see him with the other four starting offensive linemen to see how everything works together. And week one, two, three, four, like we there, I'm sure there were snaps where Kingsley Suamataia looked like a good left tackle in last season's preseason, but things didn't work out that last year. And so I think that we still have some time to figure things out, but I think that the returns are promising so far.
What about right next to him? I mean, at this point, are we trending to Jalen Moore being the guy there at left guard? Like, what are they going to do there if it's not going to be Kingsley, who didn't look as good as Simmons did in the game?
I think particularly with the left guard spot, and it is kind of interesting to see where guys try to move them or where you try to move offensive linemen, because Kingsley Suamataia, body type-wise, is a tackle. It's going to be a little bit harder to move him into guard, where you're trying to teach him to be a little bit more compact, because he was a five-star coming out of high school, went to Oregon, BYU, played tackle his entire life. Now you're saying, all right, play guard. It's a little bit of a different skill set. I know that to the layman, it seems like it's just tackle guard. They both block. It seems easy. It's not exactly. So, especially at the NFL level. So I think that that's where they're kind of struggling a little bit with Kingsley. But at the same time, I think that another position that the layman would not really even think about is that swing tackle spot. Juwan Taylor probably gets hurt this year. Josh Simmons, we know his injury history. Depending on what goes down with that, Kingsley Suamataia could be a guy to step into those roles. We talked about Juwan Taylor's future. Maybe there's a spot for him at right tackle. So it's not just saying that, like, okay, he's not playing left guard, we're completely done with the Kingsley Suamataia experiment. There is still some type of room here for him to grow and play for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I had completely forgotten Felix until I saw him on the field on Saturday that Robert Tonyan was on the team. And he looked good in limited action. I mean, he really did. Do you think he can carve out a role where he can be a contributor on this team this year? Obviously, Noah Gray's there to back up Travis Kelce, but do you think there's a world in which they can use Tonyan and he can have some success?
Well, and I think I watch a lot of Nick Wright because he's everybody's favorite national Kansas City guy. But at the same time, I think he has a good theory on particularly Travis Kelce. He said at the beginning of last year that he had probably about 10 great games left, and that included the playoffs. So there was about three or four games there. He didn't play great games in the playoffs. That's kind of sucks for Travis Kelce, at least at in the Super Bowl. But that's just neither here nor there. You kind of ran out of all those good games last year, and maybe you will through the first half of this year because you may need them. If you bring in a Robert Tonyan, like I said earlier, a veteran, and you have Noah Gray, who is a guy that is maybe not necessarily the heir apparent, but is coming on as a legitimate tight end number two, I think that you can kind of spare Travis Kelce throughout the regular season and say, all right, we have three or four games in the playoffs. Let's rock and roll. Let's get you out of here and retire on time-ish, because we meant to get you retired last year and win three straight Super Bowls. Maybe we can go to four straight, win three out of four, and then we can get you out of there that way. I think that's what the entire plan is. And if Robert Tonyan can kind of be a part of that equation throughout the regular season, and we'll see what that looks like in the playoffs, I think that's the most valuable situation for the tight end spot.
Kelsey's going to cook this year. I think he's tired of this conversation right here.
I want to agree with you. I really, really do. He's really fat. He's really slow. I wish I could.
Inspiring. Yeah.
And he's really old. Like, I want him to cook. I want to see old Travis Kelce from, like, 2017.
Huh. 2017? How about 2023?
Like, yeah, sure. No. Like, you're absolutely right. But guys fall off of cliffs fast. Like, Peyton Manning went from winning MVPs to throwing 17 interceptions and 9 touchdowns in his final season. Sure, they won the Super Bowl, but, like, guys fall off of cliffs fast, and it took 2 years. So it's just one of those things.
Look, I get it. I get it. He had almost 100 catches last year.
No, he was
defenses could smother him last year because all the wide receivers were hurt.
No, you're absolutely right. He was one of the top four, maybe top three tight ends in football last year. But we're used to Travis Kelce being one of, if not the most dangerous non-quarterback in football. He right. wasn't that.
No, he wasn't. But he's probably somewhere in between. But I just, like, he's too good and he looks good. And I think we're overstating last year either way.
It's early
we all
August.
Hope we all
it's,
hope
it's,
he does.
It's August. I think that we're excited.
Well, no, I get it. He's old. I get that he's old, yeah. But he's also not going to be asked to block. And I think that's why they keep a guy like Tonyan.
Exactly.
Because he can be a receiver. Other storylines that we've kind of been following, Felix, all offseason. You and I don't know if we ever made like a side bet, but what did you think of Travis Hunter's usage? I think he's going to play both ways. That's the way they rolled him out in the first preseason game. Do you think what do you think the split is? It certainly sounds like it'll be more receiver early on, but man, they're sticking to their word. He got a lot of reps on both sides.
Well, I think that it is going to be kind of interesting. Me and Cody had a conversation with Brett Coleman a few weeks ago, and he mentioned this theory. I'd go back and listen to that episode if I were you. We were previewing the AFC South as a whole, so we obviously talked about Travis Hunter in Jacksonville. But I think the way Brett put it was that he's going to be more of a kind of like a turnover merchant. Like it's 3rd and 7. Mm-hmm. You put Travis on the field, go get a pick. 5 times throughout the season, possessions at midfield, that's the decision in about 3 games or so. You want that. And then obviously you have another quality receiver. So it's kind of interesting where I've thought about it more as the Shohei Ohtani thing, where it's like he's just dominant on both sides. And like, how is that going to happen? Probably not. And so like we're trying to work down from that. And I think that we have to work up from what can he do on offense and what can he do on defense, and emphasizing both of those, especially with this new coaching staff trying to figure out. Liam Cohen likes to do some fun things with the outside of his offense, so I'm sure he's got some Travis Hunter design plays, and their defense needs the help on in the secondary because they were just terrible last year. They were absolutely bad, especially in man coverage. Well, what can Travis Hunter do? He's a fantastic man coverage type of corner. So I think that it is kind of one of those interesting things of like, what can Travis do? It's a lot. Put him on the field. Just put him on the field. It might be around like 40% of both sides of the field, where it's not like he's playing 50-50 going both ways, but it's like he's incredibly impactful where he's playing.
How about his former teammate, Felix? Will Shedeur Sanders be the starting quarterback for the Browns at some point this season?
I think he has to be. I mean, it is kind of interesting. Cleveland's offense is bad. Like, even their starters. And Shedeur played with their backups against Carolina's starters. And so, like, it worked out pretty well. Like, Shedeur Sanders can play a little bit of quarterback. And, like, I know that he is the ego and whatever you want to call it. It works a little bit for him. It kind of like you kind of have to have an ego to be a leader. He is a leader and a good one at that. So I think that it is going to be interesting to see how the Cleveland quarterback situation works out. Like if you saw the Mike Sando's quarterback tiers, you saw Kenny Pickett way at the bottom in his own tier all by himself. Joe Flacco is 40 something. And then you also have the oldest college quarterback in the world in Dylan Gabriel. So like they have some moving pieces and all of them might be a little bit interesting, but If I'm Shedeur, you're the leader in the clubhouse now because you played incredibly well, and I think the ceiling is the roof, if you will.
Yeah, you can squint and see a little optimism in that offense if it were Flacco or maybe Shedeur if he takes off. I mean, they have a couple good receivers. They've got Njoku. They've got a decent line there. Mm-hmm. They're moderately interested. I hope Shedeur just keeps playing, and maybe he can keep everybody quiet. Real quick, Felix, you got a comment here from Brandon. Says he's got to give you some props for your stand-up set at CSB on Sunday. Said you did a nice job. And you got to let people know, when's the next time you're doing a gig?
I do not know. That's the thing, is that it's kind of a fly-by-my-seat type of thing. It's just like I kind of show up and let the Lord work through me, and they're just like, here's a microphone, go.
You can workshop some stuff in here.
I love it.
On open mic. Felix, we will follow along with all your work as we get ready. We are making our way through. We're almost there. Talk Ball Podcast, Arrowhead Addict, right, and stand-up comedian, and apparently a pretty good one, according to Brandon. I'll come see comedy anytime. You let us know the next time you're up. I'll try to be there. Felix, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
There goes Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, football insider. Yeah, those Colorado boys, Tommy, pretty interesting preseason. We didn't talk about Travis Hunter. We talked to Shedeur yesterday. I saw Herm Edwards. Was one of them talking to kind of – he just said the biggest issue for him was he's got to be able to tackle or he'll get attacked and targeted if he's on the defensive side of the ball. He's got to be a better tackler. Herm Edwards would know, right? One of the great defensive back coaches of all time. It'll be a great story. I really like, you don't move up the way they moved up unless you envision something special like that for him. That's the way I've always looked at it. They gave up a lot to go get him. And I don't think that's just for him to be a wide receiver. I think they envision him playing both ways.
I think it's okay to have him have a presence on both sides of the ball. I mean, you draft him that high. I get it. I understand it.
We got Royals baseball tonight. It's another 6:40 first pitch. This is, Tommy, this is as favored a game as the Royals have been in quite a while. It's Waka up against the Nationals. It's Mitchell Parker, who kind of surprisingly has not been good at all this year, but they're pretty heavy favorites tonight. When we talked about how good the win last night felt, it felt good to me because it felt like it could be the start of something, right? You won a game you absolutely should have lost, but now you got to go win the ones you should win.
Yeah, I heard a stat on the broadcast on Sunday's game when they had an opportunity to take 2 of 3 from Minnesota, and it was that extra innings loss, the walk-off from the Twins and all of that. Before that series, did you know the Royals had won the final game in 10 straight series? So whether they were taking 2 of 3 or avoiding a sweep or whatever it was, they were winning the final game in the previous 10 series before that loss against Minnesota on Sunday. So they've been able to do that at a pretty large clip over the last month or two. But the fact that they were able to get the opening game in this national series, that really has not always been the case. They've found themselves with their backs up against the wall a little bit over the last couple of months. So getting the first game in a 3-game set at home, super crucial for them. Now carrying it on and seeing if you can get the first two and then go for a sweep on Wednesday, that could very well be the building block to something. With the win tonight, if they can get that done, they're back to 500. I feel like a broken record because they've been hovering around 500, and we keep saying, like, with the win, they can get back to 500. They're right there. They've just got to build upon that and stack these wins together.
That's been the frustrating part, is that we keep having to have that conversation. Like, at some point, it's, okay, they're back, and now all of a sudden we look up after a couple of weeks and they're 8 games above 500.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what it's going to take. They just haven't been able to get that long sustained winning out of it. The other big news for the Royals yesterday, Hunter Harvey back on the IL, likely done for the year, could be done forever for the Royals. You know, we haven't looked at his contract much when we were at the deadline. This could be it. He's a free agent after this year. I know there were teams interested in him at the deadline. I guess you hope maybe he comes back on a small deal, like a prove it deal, because man, he's electric when he's out there.
Yeah. The fact that he hit the IL again, that's the second time this year, the third time overall, since he's been with the Royals in the last year that he's been with them. That's precisely the reason why I didn't get excited at all when he was pitching well, just recently, because I thought, yeah, there's really nothing to back this up that it's going to last, because he's been so often injured. And it's disappointing. I guess if the Royals feel like they're not going to be giving up much to try to bring him back, I guess maybe take a swing at it. But he's been so unreliable with his health. And I know he's pitched really well when healthy, but you can't rely on that, unfortunately. And so it's really disappointing. Not at all what JJ Piccolo expected from him when they traded for him at the deadline last year. I feel bad for the guy, but if I'm the Royals, I mean, I guess you can maybe sign him to a small deal, but if I'm the Royals, more than likely, I feel like, you know what, wasn't a great trade for us. Let's move on.
The guy they traded, I don't believe, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I don't think he's done much either. I think that if he'll come back for a smaller amount, I think he's got, you know, he's shown you at least the upside that I'd be okay with the risk, but obviously his health and his physicals and all that kind of stuff would have to check out. And if it's a shoulder, boy, you just don't know. Sports talk here on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch all your local NFL live coverage every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. You can visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Of course, our partners over at 12 News with that same NFL on CBS coverage. That'll be fun this year. Can't wait for all the football that's coming. We have, let's see, we talked about, Tommy, that we get one Saturday before the start of college football season. We have three more Sundays, this Sunday and two more, before we get into to the NFL grind full swing. It feels to me like the NFL is just a little bit closer than it is. It's still a ways away.
Are we in fantasy
football draft season?
Are we 2 weeks away, like 2 weeks from Thursday from the opening game, or 3 weeks?
Three. So we'll have this Thursday and then three more weeks to the opener.
Okay.
It does feel like it's closer than that. That time's going to fly because school's back in session and we're about to be in fantasy football. You're about to be in that mode where you look at your calendar and you have fantasy football drafts like every single night.
Yeah.
Which is
my wife
absolutely the best time of the year.
My wife has already looked at that calendar and like, how many fantasy leagues are you in? How many drafts do you have to go to? Hey, it's that time of year.
You said, why do you have to ask so many questions? Was that your response?
I said, well, hey, look, like, just be happy because I'm bringing home the money. Which
that's right.
I'm not. I'm not bringing home the money, but I can tell her that at least.
Yeah, well, yeah, for all she knows, you're winning.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job. It is, man, I love fantasy football. It's the draft season, especially. You're just all excited about all your teams. And like 2 weeks in, it comes crashing down. That's okay. We're almost to betting season. Another one of my new favorite pastimes. Can't wait for all of it coming soon here on Sports Daily and in our lives in living rooms. All right, that's it for us on Sports Daily on this Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, Shreyas Lada will join. We should have Kevin Saul in as well. First time we've talked to Kevin since the Aftershocks won a title. You've also got Royals baseball here tonight, 6:40. We mentioned CAG starts his rehab assignment. So does Mark Canna tonight. He's another name. I don't know where he fits in now. So we'll have to, the Royals have got some roster massaging to take care of. But they'll play. More importantly, tonight you'll hear pregame coverage beginning at 6:30.
Should be fun tonight with the Royals game. Looking forward to recapping that tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be talking about a potential sweep of the Nationals.
Get it done. They're big favorites. We'll have it all recapped for you tomorrow. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. See you then.